Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
Right, so today is going to be a little different, as I think you can already tell. If we think about today is going to be a little bit like a Pixar movie. Where I don't know what your favorite Pixar movie is, but Pixar movies are for kids. But if you're an adult who has seen a Pixar movie, what you recognize is while the medium might be targeting children, the message oftentimes is pretty hard-hitting for the adults in the room. And so as we sit here and as we kind of be together as a group, I see a lot of costumes. And so I just want to introduce myself so there's no confusion. My name's Andy and my wife Joy, or Katie. We have the privilege of leading the family ministry here at the parish. Today I am who? Come on, help me out. Yes! I'm Andiana Jones today. And probably my favorite movie character in American cinema. And Katie is Joy from Inside Out. If you didn't notice, Jenna is Anger from Inside Out. So we kind of have some contrast here. But as I was getting ready for this family Sunday where I knew we were going to be costumed, I went online and I looked at the top 10 costumes that were sold on Amazon for Halloween. Does anyone have a guess on what one of the top 10 costumes were on Amazon this year for Halloween? Any guesses? Dave? Yes, the Joker was actually the number one costume sold for adult men this year on Amazon. And I think it probably has something to do with the movie that's out right now. I thought I'd put this picture rather than the Joaquin Phoenix picture. It might be a little bit more accessible. But the Joker was the top male costume. What about female costume? The top costume for women, I'll give you a clue, it also coincides with a movie that's out. What do we think? What do you think, Andrew? Maleficent. You must have seen my slides. Yeah, Maleficent, the top female costume this year is actually Maleficent. A couple others rounding out the top 10, we had Captain America. And I saw Captain America here this morning. I'm not sure where he went, but he's in the back. We had Captain America, and actually my favorite, broaching the top 10 for the first time, Bob Ross made it. Oh, yeah. Bob Ross made it into the top 10 for... Now, kids, I don't know if you know who Bob Ross is. Some of you may. But Bob Ross makes it into the top 10. Now, this is what's interesting. I did a little research to see kind of where do Halloween costumes fall within the country. And certain regions of the country have different Halloween costumes. So this is the way costumes broke down last year across America for Halloween. And so you see all the different parts of our country, all the different states have kind of the most popular Halloween costume. Here in Georgia last year, the most popular was what? Black Panther. I think we actually had a Black Panther here last year. So Black Panther was the most popular in Georgia, but what was interesting is that of all of the costumes, they kind of broke down into four basic categories. So Halloween costumes, the most popular was this idea of kind of superheroes and villains. So of all of the costumes that we put on ourselves or put on our kids, it was either this personification of all of the goodness in us, or let's just delve into the depravity of all of the evil, and we kind of become one of those two pieces. We see ourselves on either end of the spectrum, and if not that, well, there was generic costumes that kind of lined up with state themes. You know, cheese heads were the biggest ones out in Green Bay, but animals and mythical creatures. So if not a superhero, not a villain, it was, okay, I'm going to clothe myself with some sort of animal skin. Or I'm going to try to be a mythical creature. I'm going to try to be this deity. I'm going to try to put myself in the position of a god. And so what we have is this. And so Captain America, I chose him because he's in that top 10. But if we think about Captain America and we think about his backstory, who knows the backstory of Captain America? Yeah, tell us a little bit about the backstory. Yeah, if you know the backstory of Captain America, he is this American youth in the midst of the war. And he's courageous and he's valiant and he has this burning desire to be a soldier, but his stature just doesn't live up to it. And so all of those characteristics of courage and bravery and valor are trapped in this body of his. And so what happens is he gets chosen to be in this program and he goes into a machine. And through the magic of this machine and radiation, he becomes this super soldier. And so all that goodness that's in him, all of the attributes of goodness get amplified, get magnified, and he becomes Captain America. He becomes kind of the magnified version of all the good in us. So my good plus radiation equals a superhero. Well, on the other side, we have Maleficent. Now, the backstory for Maleficent is a broken heart leads her into a downward spiral where at the bottom there's the embracing of all that is evil and the choosing to live out all that is evil. And so you see kind of both sides of this spectrum, good and evil. Well, there's not a question right now, so hold on to that thought. But we see kind of this two side, right? Or like the map showed, we kind of play Zeus, we play God, you know, or we dress up as a bear, we put on these skins, right? Interestingly, no one and nowhere in that top 10 was 40-year-old dad bod with receding hairline. You know, no one's dressing up like this for Halloween. No one's desiring to be 40-year-old dad bod for Halloween. See, what happens is we recognize the reality of who we are, and we choose not to live into this. We want to cover it with something else. And so we want to cover who we truly are with either the goodness, or if I can't be that, I'm going to choose to be kind of the evilness. Or I'm going to choose to play God, or I'm just going to hide myself under skins. And so what we see is this idea of wearing costumes and wearing masks. And the passage that we're going to be looking at today, the passage that Mr. Keith read, while it didn't mention Captain America, and while it didn't mention costumes, the whole passage was built on this idea of what do we seek to cover ourselves with to make ourselves acceptable. And I think we're going to see something, that Jesus is going to set up this picture in this parable of superheroes and of villains, of the ultimate good and the ultimate bad. And he does this by kind of almost the way that we tell jokes, right? So who's ever heard two guys walk into a bar joke? Yeah, right? So it's this idea that we're going to take two caricatures of people, kind of put them into a situation and see what happens. And so Jesus does the same thing. This doesn't really happen. This is a parable. He takes two caricatures, two kind of costumed people, puts them not in a bar, but he begins the passage this way. He says, two men walk up to the temple. So this is a first century version of the two men walk into the bar joke, right? And so he sets the scenario, and he kind of creates this dichotomy between two of these figures. He creates one as a superhero and one as a villain, but he says this. Two men walk into the temple, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Now we, and those of us who've been in church or those who have spent time in the Bible, start to kind of see this Pharisee as a bad guy. But back then, the audience he's speaking to, the Pharisee, was the superhero. The Pharisee was the fullness of all that was good. They had scripture memorized. They followed every law. They lived it to the perfection. And so this is the superhero. He kind of sets him up as the good guy and the tax collector. The tax collector is the fullness. He's the villain. He's the fullness of evil. He's chosen to live into his depravity, live into his sinful nature. And so what's going to happen? Jesus puts a superhero and a villain in the temple together, and he tells a story. And this is what he says. He says this: the Pharisee stood by himself, and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give all that I get. And he contrasts it with the tax collector. But let's see what he does first. So the Pharisee goes to the temple. He's seeking God. He wants to be with God. And so he stands by himself. This isn't a public prayer. He stands by himself. He faces up to God. And the first thing he does is he gives thanks. And so I think we look at this and we say, this is the good guy. This is the superhero. This is the guy who's doing what he should. He's going to church. He's going to the temple. He's standing up. He's facing God. He's giving thanks. But what's interesting is the way the passage begins, it gives us some context. So it tells us not about his behavior or what he does, but what it tells us is his attitude and the posture of his heart. He says this: to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. He talks about this man who comes to church, comes to the temple, and the only reason he's coming is to justify himself by looking at everybody else. He's not coming with a heart and a posture of worship. He's coming seeking to justify himself in light of where everyone else is. And so he does that. He looks to the left, and he looks and he sees, oh, I thank you that I'm not like Harry Potter. I thank you that I'm not like Chicken Man over here. Right? I'm not like Astronaut Man. I don't do those things that they do. And if I look at my life and my behavior in light of what they do and who they are, oh, God, thank you that I'm not like them. And so what he starts to begin to do is this idea of creating a relative justification. Rather than seeing himself and who he is in light of who God is, he sees himself in light of everyone else around him. And when his justification becomes relative to his peers, his heart moves towards Captain America, who says, my goodness, my courage, my valor, my keeping of the law is what brings me joy in your eyes. And then he goes on. He says, okay, in light of who they are, God, you love me. And then even more, look at what I do. I fast twice a week. I give all I get. He says, who I am relative to who they are, and my behavior brings me right standing with you, Lord. And so Jesus paints this picture of this person who would have been seen as a superhero. And then he moves on and he looks at the tax collector, who takes a very different posture, even though some of his prayer is similar. And so the tax collector stands at a distance, doesn't look left, doesn't look right, doesn't even look up to heaven, but beats his breast, and his only cry is, I am a sinner, have mercy on me. A man who is chosen to betray his people, betray his family, betray his nation, steal from those around him. He's chosen to move in the direction of sin and depravity, but as he moves towards God and seeks to connect with God in the temple, he recognizes my only option in light of my sin and who I am is to beat my breast and say, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me. And so we see this next sentence, and this gives us such hope. It says, I tell you, this man, this tax collector, went home justified before God. And so we celebrate, and we said, yes, this is a God of mercy. Yes, this is, you know, God coming to the sinner and saving the sinner and justifying the sinner, and we celebrate this. This is a beautiful passage. But the problem is, there's a comma here instead of a period. And what is probably most terrifying to us sitting in church on a Sunday morning in Alpharetta, Georgia, is the fact that there's a comma here. And that this man, this deplorable, evil, sinful man, is justified rather than the other. That the man doing everything right, the man living the superhero life, doing everything as he's supposed to do, goes home condemned, is not justified. And so we say, Lord, what are we to do? What are we to do? And he ends this way. He says this. He says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He seems to say that it's not necessarily the actions that we do, but it's the posture in which we go about them that brings pleasure or condemnation from the Lord. And so his disciples are like, what? What is that? And so Jesus goes on with his teaching, and three verses later, he says, well, I'll tell you how you can be exalted. I'll tell you how you can come to me. And he says this famous passage. He says this famous verse of, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. He says there's something about the posture of a little child that allows them to approach God in the correct way. And so I want to think about, for a second, the posture of our babies among us. So they're in the back, mostly. But I want to think about, what do you think this baby's feeling? He's sad? Yeah, what else do you think this baby's feeling? What causes a baby to cry? Yeah. This baby's hungry. And so little baby in his crib, hungry, not having the nourishment, not having what he needs, what is his only option? What is the only option this baby has to get fed? Is to cry. You know, if you think about, can this baby lift himself up? Can this baby exalt himself or lift himself up? Can he climb up and throw a leg over the crib and crawl to the refrigerator and get up? No. There's no possible way. His only hope for nourishment is to cry and hope that there is a mom or a dad who's going to come. This baby's not hungry. This baby's sitting in a diaper that's filthy, that's dirty, that's soiled. And he knows it. He feels it. I'm dirty. I need to be clean. I've never seen a baby undo their diaper, fold it up, clean themselves, be on. What is the only option this baby has to be clean? Walter, to cry. To cry and hope for a good mom or a good dad who's going to come and make them clean. And this baby is cold. And I've never seen a baby tuck themselves in and swaddle themselves up. The only option he has is to cry and hope that there's a good mom or a good dad who will come and cover him to give him warmth. The posture that Jesus describes in the tax collector, that he calls us to, is anything other than a cry and a desperate hope for salvation, for a savior, for someone to feed and to clean and to cover. Anything else is Captain America saying, my goodness plus Jesus equals your pleasure. And he says, ultimately, that equation, my goodness plus Jesus equals condemnation. The equation, he says, is a humility and a desperate cry in light of who we are as sinners leads to a justified man or woman or kid. Cry out. Hope for a savior. Hope for a good father. You know, what's interesting is that Halloween is not where costumes began. Does anyone know the first recorded costume in history? The first recorded costume in human history, we actually have a record of it. Does anyone know what it is? It's not an astronaut suit. It's not a ghost covering. The first time we see humanity seek to cover ourselves because we know who we are does not measure up is where? Is in the garden. These are fig leaves. I found that we had a fig tree on our home. Who knew? So where Adam and Eve, after they have sinned against God, after they have tried to take the place of God, and they wanted to be God rather than commune with God, and we see the fall of humanity, their first response after recognizing their sin is to put on a costume, is to try to cover who they truly are with something that will shield them from the holiness of God. And so they take these fig leaves, and they sew them together, and then they hide. It's the first game of hide and seek. So in Genesis 3, we have the first costume, and we have the first game of hide and seek. And so God finds Adam and Eve in the bushes hiding with the costume on. And he says, I'm going to give you a covering more than these fig leaves. And so he goes and he slays an animal, sacrifices an animal, and take those animal skins, and he places them on Adam and Eve, and he sends them away, but not before giving them a promise. He says, your fig leaves are not sufficient. I'm going to give you a covering, and this covering will not be sufficient, but these animal skins will cover you until my promise comes to fulfillment. Several thousand years later, we see the promise of the covering that we so desperately need. And this promise comes in the form of a perfect son, Jesus, who becomes the covering for us. And we see in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about this costume exchange. And he says, here's what's happened. You are costumed. You are trying to make yourself either perfect or live in your evil. And he says, here's what happens. For he, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who didn't wear a costume, who needed no covering, who knew no sin, he made him to be sin, to take on all of our sinful costuming so that we could stand accepted before a holy God. That this exchange of Halloween costumes allows us to come before a God and be in his presence. And so we see the fulfillment of what Isaiah sees in his vision. And Isaiah responds, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has costumed me with the bedsheet of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. And again, there can be communion with the Holy God, but only through the work of Jesus Christ. And so today, we approach the communion table celebrating the fact that we don't have to be costumed. I can take off my Indiana Jones and I can come as who I am in light of who Jesus was before a God who truly is, and he would say, you are justified. Not because of who you are relative to everyone else, but who you are relative to my son who has taken your sins so you could have his holiness. That is what we celebrate at this table. So Eddie's going to come up, kind of lead us into our table. And I would ask that we would approach without costume. I mean, you keep your costumes on. But we would approach without covering, as those who have been made righteous not by anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's come to the table together.